At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is the New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. I'm John Batchelor. We're speaking of Haiti, establishing that Port-au-Prince and the 12 million people who live in the island, the half the island that is Haiti, have been abandoned by civil and military authorities throughout the hemisphere, and let's include the Eastern Hemisphere as well. There is no significant order being helped or enforced by outside forces. The Haitians, quite sensibly, are fleeing Haiti and these conditions of pandemic, war, death, famine, and gangsters. And they're fleeing and have been for some time. My anecdote is to South America, where you find a living as best you can hand to mouth. But first, before you go to Latin America and to make your way to Central America, to make your way north, if you're very lucky, to join relatives or friends or the Haitian communities who live in the diaspora in the United States. Before you go, you travel to Santo Domingo. Santo Domingo shares the island. And recently, a conversation with a colleague who traveled to what is an effectively a wall built by Santo Domingo, by the Dominican Republic between the two countries. It's from pictures that I saw. It's cinder blocks at the base, topped by a cyclone fence, topped by barbed wire, and there are watchtowers intermittently across a landscape that on the Haitian side is bare mountains because the forests have been stripped for firewood over decades, over centuries. On the DR side, it's a desert area. Nonetheless, this is the way out through this passageway, through the wall or around the wall, to Santo Domingo, and then by boat, well, you make your way to the mainland. Professor, I'm describing only what I have anecdotally, but that flow continues, and it continues into South America, into Central America via the Darien Gap, to Texas or California, and then to neighborhoods as close to New York as Jersey City. My interest for you to help me understand is, how does the State Department, how do the various agencies of the United States think about this catastrophe in Port-au-Prince, the flight of Haitians, the walls that the Haitians have to get around or through, the one in Santo Domingo, the one in Texas, and the general question of what is to be done about Haiti, either the Haitians who are here in the United States without documents or the Haitians who have fled Haiti and throughout South America. How does the U.S. government think about them?
John, you put a lot of great questions forward. So first of all, as you point out, a really good point for those who follow U.S. immigration is that just because of the gravity of the situation and the fact that Dominican Republic and Haiti share the island of Hispaniola, the migration discourse there is like what you see in the U.S. On steroids, frankly. In other words, in the Dominican Republic, you've long had the Haitians coming over trying to earn a living, the question of citizenships and rights, the fact that anytime you have problems in the Dominican Republic, the Haitians are looked on as the source of the crime and the insecurity and disease outbreaks like cholera. And so you can expect, particularly understand that as things have gotten even more grave with the kidnappings and the expansion of gangs, that in the Dominican Republic, there's been a demand, especially from there, that the international community does more, and also a frustration that oftentimes that the first thing that the international community has done has not been more about the desperate situation in Haiti, but rather to criticize the Dominican Republic for their policy on the treatment of Haitians who live there. Having said that, one of the things beyond actually creating a special military force to protect the frontier, in addition addition to the Dominican Republic's regular army, that they've done is they put together a basically they've started building a wall. Now, it's about 171 kilometers so far. It's only partially complete, as you alluded to. But again, just kind of reflecting the desperation and some of the attitudes there. Now, as you also pointed out, just because of the situation and this, the United Nations statistics that were recently released suggest something like 47% of Haitians are living under situations of malnutrition or food insecurity. And so again, with this, the violence, the lack of economic opportunity, the lack of basics like food, what Haitians have done, just like Cubans have done and others from the Caribbean, that the logical route is to go from the island of Hispaniola down oftentimes to Colombia, Venezuela, where they go to Nicocoli, where Colombia meets Panama, the Darien Gap, and again, following that transit route through the Darien Gap, Panama, and ultimately to the United States that we've heard so much about. Now, with respect to state, and I can tell you that time 2019, 2020 at the State Department, Haiti was always very much under discussion in different ways. Previously, it was arguably even a greater issue. There was a whole special representative section that was created at state under the Obama administration, and also Haiti has long gotten a lot of congressional attention from different parts of Congress with special interest in the affairs of the peoples of the Caribbean. The problem is, though, the question of what to do about Haiti. Of course, we recently, we previously had United States intervention back in the 1990s. You later had the United Nations peacekeeping force, MINUSTAH. You've long had, basically putting out of money for Haitian NGOs, but that's contributed to a culture of dependence. So state gets involved in Haiti in various different ways. I mean, obviously, currently there's the question of what to do about the violence. Todd Robinson, the head of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement that I previously used to have oversight over, was recently down in January in Port-au-Prince after the killing of those 14 different national police officers. But so it involves INL, it involves PRM, who are worried about migration. It involves USAID and NGOs. And so there's always been an attempt to bring a coherence to, how we basically have a more coherent package to dealing with the situation. And frankly, not just the U.S., but all of those in the region who are affected by the migration, the Jamaicans are affected, the rest of the Caribbean is affected, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's really a difficult issue and an issue of coordination. And it's also an issue of public-private coordination going beyond just the U.S. government, because so much of the work that's done in Haiti involves NGOs.
We have 30 seconds, Professor. Go ahead, 30 seconds.
NGOs that deal in disaster relief, but also NGOs who deal with helping and trying to account for their security and coordinate their actions. But it's a difficult, intractable, multidimensional challenge.
Too many villains, too little time. We're on to Nicaragua, also another country in the new world that is darkness visible. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient unlocked. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.